This is amazing. It's just amazing. Well, I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. All right, let me bring out this. Tonight we have our 6 o'clock service. I hope that you'll join us. I'm going to be in the book of Job tonight. And Job has gone through many, many trials. We know about the story of Job. And what I'm going to bring out tonight is just toward the tail end of the book of Job about some things that God accomplishes through suffering, some things that God accomplishes through suffering. And I hope that you'll be here tonight. We'll have our evening service at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be in the book of Job. But right now we're in 2 Samuel chapter 1. King David has just returned from his own battle against the Amalekites. And that's what takes place as you read at the last chapter in the book of 1 Samuel, which is right before this, page before. And then we see again more of that account here in 2 Samuel chapter 1. So he has just returned from this battle against the Amalekites to find out that Israel has been defeated by the Philistine army. So he comes and hears this bad news. He found out that the Philistines had followed hard after King Saul and his three sons. And when they had overtaken them, they killed them. So we see here in verses 11 through 12, and we'll start right there because David gets the news from a young Amalekite soldier in the first part of this chapter, all the way through verses 1 through 10. But we're going to start here in verse 11, and we see that David, his response to this. Verse 11, it says, "Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword." And with that, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for this opportunity to observe Memorial Day. We thank you, Lord, for those that we acknowledge, for those that we honor in our country who have given their lives and who gave their lives in service of protecting our country. We thank you, Lord, that we have this day that we can do this. We thank you that we can acknowledge them. We cannot thank them face to face, obviously, but we're grateful for the opportunity to observe this very, very special day. Those who made tremendous sacrifices for our freedoms, for what we have. May we never take that for granted. May we never take for granted what we have in Christ. You've given us liberty in Christ. We thank you for those of us that know you as our Savior. We were lost in sin, and we were on our way and headed toward hell. And we were in darkness. But we thank you, Lord, that you shined a light in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for what you did when you came to this earth and lived a sinless life and went to that cross at Calvary and then was buried and rose again from the grave. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have offered to every person who has ever lived. You've offered them eternal life. And we thank you for those of us here today that know you. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have in Christ, the liberty that we have in him. But we thank you once again as we go back to our country and the fact that we are acknowledging that here this weekend. We thank you for those who willingly gave of themselves. And we pray that you would bless this time, bless your word as we continue to look in it. And may you speak to our hearts and may we respond to that and may our hearts be grateful for all that we have. Lord, we thank you and pray that in all of this that Jesus would be glorified and honored. We pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see there in verses 11 and 12 that King David, of course, David hadn't taken the throne yet. He shortly will. King Saul has now died, and he finds this out, and David is greatly bereaved over the news. He understands the great sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that these men had made for their homeland. That would have been, again, King Saul and his three sons. And, of course, the one that is really acknowledged, of course, is Jonathan. But there were three sons that were killed. But David understands the sacrifice that they made for their homeland, their country. David knows the commitments that soldiers willingly make. Because David's sacrifice that they had made, they had given up their lives for their country. And David would not let that go by unnoticed, but he would acknowledge that. And he would honor them. And so we read here in verses 17 to the end of the chapter, it says, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, 'The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the street of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?'" David used those words several times. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. Now, this morning, we want to salute and to honor those who gave their lives for defending our great nation. Again, we've not been able to meet them face to face, obviously. But we're grateful for the sacrifices that are made. And we don't want to let that go unnoticed or unaddressed. We say thank you for your sacrifices. The sacrifices that you have given for our liberties. Amen? Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Today we celebrate those who gave their all. As we observe Memorial Day today, and Memorial Day was once originally known as Decoration Day, and from 1868 to 1970, it was observed on May the 30th on that particular day. But from 1970 till now, we observe it on the last Monday of May. So as we observe Memorial Day this weekend, we're certainly unable to say thank you face to face with those who made that ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives for our country. But what we can do is honor them for their service and their sacrifice and to say thank you to any of their loved ones. And along with that, we can certainly thank our veterans for their past service and those who presently serve. So many who continually put their lives on the line. Amen? Well, it's just good when you see a soldier to go out of your way and say thank you. Thank you for your service for our country. Somebody that has been a veteran and they're wearing a hat, it's good to just say, "I like that hat and I want to say thank you." Thank you for serving our country. I like to tell first responders, when we see police officers, thank you for your service. Boy, thank you for those who put their lives on the line. Because, folks, our country is first and foremost great because of the great God of heaven, who through divine providence and incredible mercy hand upon our country. There was no way our country should have won the Revolutionary War against Great Britain. That just should not have happened. But it did because God's hand was upon it. And God said, I have a use, I have a purpose for this country. But along with that, this nation is special because of the outstanding men and women who fought for what it stands for. So I'm grateful for all of you who have served in our military and who have made that call to protect our country. So this morning, we want to salute and honor those who gave their lives for defending our great nation. Thank you again for the sacrifice that was made to those who gave their lives. May all of us remember the price that was paid as much as we possibly can. I read the story of one such sacrifice by a young Army private, Private First Class Ross Andrew McGinnis. On December the 4th, 2006, the youngest soldier in Company C, 1st Battalion, 26th Infantry Regiment, attached to the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 2nd Infantry Division. On December the 4th, 2006, on a mission near Baghdad, he willingly sacrificed himself in an act of supreme bravery. McGinnis was manning the gunner's hatch in their Humvee when an insurgent tossed a grenade from above, and it flew past him down through the hatch before lodging near the radio mount, threatening the lives of all who were in the vehicle. McGinnis yelled, "Grenade, it's in the truck!" Another soldier in the truck saw him pin it down, and he did it though he could have escaped. He had time to jump out of the truck, but he chose not to. He jumped right over that grenade, and McGinnis was just 19 years of age. But he willingly gave his life. His thought process was, no, I'm not getting out of here. I'm going to save the lives of my brothers. I'm going to save the lives of my fellow soldiers. And that's what he did. We certainly could speak of story after story, but time would not allow us. But that's one particular example of sacrifices that have been made. The freedoms that we enjoy today as Americans did not just simply happen. They came about because so many were willing to give of themselves for our country. They were just willing to make that call. Yeah, I want to go and protect our country. And if I have to make that ultimate sacrifice, I'm willing to do it. Well, I tip my hat to everyone who's ever done that. You and I have become wonderful recipients as a result of it. But now let me speak for a few moments on this topic or in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. You think about the Son of God who sat with the Father in eternity past. He sat with the Father on the throne, and when it was realized that a sacrifice what must be made for man's sins, he said, "Father, here am I. Send me. I will die in their place that they might live and that they might be benefited." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." We've all become rich, haven't we? The spiritual riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ are immense. They're innumerable. Sometimes we don't really see and appreciate all that we have in Christ. But if we spend time with the Lord, spend time in his word, we'll begin to realize more and more of what we have in Christ because of that great, great sacrifice that he made. And don't you know that the Lord always had that opportunity to back away from going to the cross? He certainly could have backed away. For when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he stated that if he wanted to, he could have called 12 legions of angels. You remember when he said that? But I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't just vaporize the enemies. He didn't do that. He said, no, I need to go on and finish this. I need to do what I've been called to do. In Hebrews chapter 12, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 12 with me? What a great passage of scripture this is, as it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, Let's read just through these first three verses. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is all before us." Now, as the author of Hebrews, which I think probably was Paul, he says to them, we have a great cloud of witnesses that are watching out over us. And because of that, let's put aside everything that is holding us back in our race for Christ. Let's put aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus exhorting them in this race for Christ. He says, looking unto Jesus, and this is a good thing for every one of us to do, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith and seeing him seated at the right hand of the Father, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, enduring what the cross was going to present to him, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, for conviction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The author there, and I'll say Paul again, Paul is encouraging these believers to consider Christ and set your eyes on him and the sacrifice that he made for us, that we would be willing to make a sacrifice for Christ, that we would be willing to make a sacrifice for others. You know, that has been the mindset of our country from generation to generation. Those who have given their lives set a tremendous example of a sacrifice for us all the way back. From the inception of this country, those that were willing to die for our freedoms. And all through the years, whether it was in wartime or others that just willingly gave of themselves. We see it from parents. We know that as parents, we have to make sacrifices. Not quite to the level that we're honoring today, those who gave their lives. But we know that if we're going to raise children to do what's right and to live godly, then we need to show them an example of sacrifice. It's part of what we do. But it seems as if we've gone further and further along in time to where we're at now. I'm not saying we don't make sacrifices still, but it just seems like maybe we don't, maybe as a whole, as a society, and I'm not saying that's true here, but I think we less and less appreciate the sacrifices that have been made for us. Because of our freedoms, you know that sometimes when we are blessed over and over and over because we live in such a blessed place that we can take it for granted. We can just believe that, oh, wow, we live in America. Well, that's just owed to us. No, nothing is owed to us. It was because somebody made a sacrifice on our behalf that we get to enjoy all of the creature comforts and all of the things that we enjoy. And sometimes we lose that mindset of making sacrifices for the generation that's following us so that we can pass that legacy on. And I believe America has lost a good bit of that. We get really comfortable in our comfy chairs and all of our creature comforts. Everything is just done for us anymore. We start to grumble and complain if we have to get up from our seat to do something with the TV. It's like, oh, the remote's not working. And we just, it's the end of the world. You talk about really suffering for Jesus. Cable TV's gone out. Now we just have to watch the regular networks. What am I going to do with my life? Right? Sometimes we can be a little pathetic, can't we? It's because we've just had so much given to us. I've seen a lot of that with a young generation. We've given them so much, and I'm speaking in general terms. I'm not saying you've done that, but we've given them so much that they take it for granted. There's a bit of an entitlement mentality that goes on. And that's why a lot of young people today is like, well, man, I should have my college tuition paid for me. Well, that's a novel concept. That would have been nice back in the day. Yeah, no, we worked hard. And that's how we were raised, was to work hard and to earn your keep. And you know, you appreciate it when you do that. Amen? It's just good for us to learn how to work, learn how to make sacrifices. I've talked to so many, you know, we get around to restaurants now and then. And, you know, you just ask folks, how's your staff doing? These days, we're short-staffed, and that's why it's affected our hours. And, you know, we talk about people, you know, the turnover. Oh, it's just an incredible turnover. You get young people in here, and they don't want to work hard. They don't want to get down on their knees and scrub around a toilet. Man, now I'm not trying to put myself, but we were just raised to do those things. You just were raised to whatever the boss tells you to do, you just do it. And do it with a smile on your face. Amen? Because really, it's a blessing. And we just see less and less of that anymore. How good has God been to us? We know that verse so well, and how splendid it is of what God did for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was willing to give of his life for us. He willingly went all the way for us. He came to give his life as a ransom for every one of us. Bible says in Hebrews that he tasted death for every man. Oh, how is the mighty fallen? Yet our Savior did not remain fallen. Amen? For the Bible says he rose again and he conquered death. And it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He conquered death so that you and I could live and be born again. And if you are here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for you. The ultimate sacrifice of all sacrifices. God, who became a human being, came and he lived a sinless life on your behalf and on my behalf, because we'd all fallen short of God's glory. We're all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's only one who lived a righteous and godly life and never sinned, and that was Jesus Christ. And he lived it on our behalf. And then when he went to the cross, he became the sinner in our place. He took our transgressions upon him. He died in your place. He died in my place. He died as one that was accursed, one that had never sinned. He died for you and I. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, then we make an invitation to you. We persuade you today. We want to see you trust Christ as your Savior. There is no way for you to get to heaven on your own. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. As Titus chapter 3 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Jesus died in your place, he was buried, and he rose again. And he offers eternal life to you today if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ. You simply need to come to him as a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says, for God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're willing to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then you're willing to confess him and open your mouth and confess Christ and believe on him with your heart, believing that he died and rose again from the grave, just as I read just a few minutes ago from Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you're willing to do that, he will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today if you don't know Jesus Christ. He made a tremendous sacrifice so that you could have eternal life. Won't you be saved today? So now as we celebrate and observe Memorial Day, may our hearts be stirred with gratitude for those who have given their lives for us. And may we not just be thankful just at this time of the year only, But may we always be thankful for sacrifices that are made. It's good for us. We're to give thanks in everything. We're to always give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And when we're thankful, it keeps our heart in a good place. It keeps us humble because we're acknowledging that all blessings come from God. And everything that we have is owing to Him. And when we begin to stop being thankful, then we begin to start seeing really ugly things take place in our heart. We begin to start taking credit for things. We begin to start thinking, oh, by the power of my might, I've made all these things happen. By my wit and by my creativity, I made these things to happen. No, whatever creativity, whatever wit, whatever ounce of strength that you have, it was given to you by God. And it was given to me by God. Every breath that I draw comes from God. And it's good every day to just say, thank you, Lord, that I can draw breath. Thank you, Lord, that I'm just able to rise and just be at church today. Not everybody was able to be at church today. Praise God for every blessing that He brings our way. And praise God for everything that happens, even when it's negative, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, as Romans chapter 8 says. And so if we'll walk by faith and not by sight, then we can look unto the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Even some of the things that come my way that aren't good, sometimes that are a struggle, sometimes that are a challenge, which Job says, and that we'll be talking about tonight. Job went through some great trials, and there's some great things that were unveiled to Job as he continued to go through some trials. And God reveals some things to Job that Job wasn't even aware of. He was a righteous and a godly man, but he had some things to learn. And God shows those things to us in His kindness. But if we'll learn to just be thankful, God will reveal those things to us. So may we be a thankful people. Let me ask this question. Do we have any family here or relatives or spouses of someone who gave their life in the line of duty for our country? Is there anybody here that, yes, Zayden, right over here. All right. And Zayden, what family member was that? Your great-grandfather gave his life. What war was that? Do you know? That's all right. That's all right. Praise the Lord for your great-grandfather. Amen. Anybody else? Brother Gary as well? And who would that have been? Who was that who gave their life?
My dad's twin brother in World
War II. Oh, wow. Man, praise the Lord. Yes, Ginger. Wow. Man, praise the Lord. Yes, Bobby.
My brother, before his 22nd birthday.
Your brother, before his 22nd birthday in Korea.
He was on his way home.
Man, wow. Well, thank you for letting us know. Is there anybody else? Yes, Brother Wilson.
My uncle passed away in Vietnam.
Okay. Serving our country. His uncle passed away in Vietnam. Anybody else? Well, let's give them an ovation. I just say thank you. Thank you for those sacrifices that are made. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. We'll finish up here in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Paul is writing to this young preacher, Timothy, and he's exhorting him and admonishing him as he goes forth in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, a number of times, refers to him as a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see ourselves as soldiers for Christ in this life that we live for Him. He says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, he says, "Thou therefore, my son..." He always called Timothy his son. "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Folks, the Lord has called us to be a soldier for Christ. We are told the weapons of our warfare and our armor in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been given a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're to be faithful soldiers for Christ. And we're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life as he admonishes Timothy, as Paul admonishes Timothy. Listen, you're a soldier for Christ. Keep your eye on your marching orders. Do what God has called you to do. Keep your eyes on the prize. And don't get caught up with the distractions in this life because you are called to be a soldier, the Apostle Paul says. And may we realize, listen, we may never have fought out in a battlefield, but we are presently in a battle if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so let that charge be spoken to you and I, that we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes on Him, doing all that we can to serve Him, and making a sacrifice. What a blessed thought, sacrifice. What a blessed truth that we have become recipients. Might we put on that mindset for others that are behind us, that are watching us. Amen? And again, may we be thankful for those who made sacrifices for us. Would you bow your heads at this time? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. With heads bowed and being in a spirit and an attitude of prayer, let me just ask you this question. How many of you would be able to say, Pastor Garcia, with your heads bowed, I know without a doubt that I'm saved and that I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. That's arms up, hands up all across the auditorium. But maybe you're here today. Well, before I even go on to my next question, I'm going to ask this question of you as well. How many of you would say, Pastor Garcia, I just raised my hand. I know that I'm saved. But God has spoken to my heart about being a soldier, about sacrifices that need to be made. Listen, yes, there's already hands up. How many of you would say, pray for me, Pastor Garcia. Pray for me that I would see this calling that I have, that I'm a soldier for Christ. God has spoken to me about just serving Him and keeping my eyes focused on Him and making sacrifices, whatever sacrifices I need to make that would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any hands? I see a number of hands. Yes, and my hand is up as well. So many hands here today. But how about somebody here today, you would say, Pastor Garcia, I don't know for sure that I'm even saved. I see and hear from the Bible that Jesus died for me. He made a sacrifice for me. And in my mind, I maybe acknowledge that, but there's never been a time when I have personally trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never looked unto Him and called upon Him to come into my life and forgive me of my sins so that I could become a child of God. And so, Pastor Garcia, would you please pray for me? I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'm concerned about my soul. Is there anybody like that? You would raise your hand and say, please pray for me. I'm not here to spotlight you or to embarrass you, but I'm just wanting to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? All right, let's pray before the Lord. Father, we come to you this afternoon now, and we thank you for the opportunity of looking in your word. We thank you for the great privilege it is of ours to honor those to whom honor is due. We thank you for those, Lord, who have given their lives as we have this Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day is tomorrow. We're acknowledging it here today. We thank you for those who've given their lives and numerous examples of those that were related to those here in the congregation. We thank you for those lives that were given. Lord, we thank you for sacrifices that have been made on our behalf, and we're the benefactors of those great blessings. But help us not to just take a walk down easy street because of the blessings that have been given to us. Help us to realize that we need to make sacrifices as well for those behind us. Help us, Lord, not to just let it to be all easy. We don't want to have a soft life. Help us to just turn our lives over unto you as your children, that you could just use us in whatever way you would want us to go. And we know that in that path, we'll be a blessing to others. There'll be some sacrifices that'll be made, but it's how you bring life unto others. It's how you bring liberty and blessings immeasurable to a country and to a church. Lord, help us to be that kind of a people. Help us to have that kind of a mindset. And so we thank you for the great sacrifice that you made on our behalf. And Lord, help us to respond to you today. Thank you again for a day that we can acknowledge those who gave their lives for our country. So we praise and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.